Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
I agree.
Their second best player is Nervis Solarte. I mean, come on.
Solarte.
They are...
Never nervous. Yang Hervis. City is dead. The stadium is dead. And then an hour later, I'm horned. Yankee Magic. I'm running through walls.
As we always say, you know, the board is the board.
It's the truth.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big basketball show. Good to have you with us on this championship awarding... What is it? Oh, this championship awarding moment in the city from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Davey is tired. I am tired. I went to bed too late last night. So I've been in a bit of a funk from the moment I got up. The coffee has helped. I got another infusion of the coffee in the afternoon. But it will only go so far. I may be a little loopy tonight. But I think we're going to still be in for a really good show. As we wrap up a 2018 NBA season that ended with a bit of a sour note. But it brings on a great offseason a little bit early. Let's jump it. The NBA report for June 13th. It's over. The Warriors beat the Cavaliers in a sweep 4-0 in the NBA Finals. The Warriors, in so doing, win their third championship in a row. I'm sorry, in their third championship in 4 years. I forgot to get Chris on the phone. Oh my god. All right, let's get him. All right, anyway, getting back to the business. LeBron James in that NBA Finals revealed a cast on his wrist following game 4, suggesting an injury apparently after game 1 per Brian Windhorst. In other team news, the Pistons hire former Raptors head coach Dwayne Casey as their new head coach. And the Raptors, who just fired Dwayne Casey, hire former assistant coach Nick Nurse as their new head coach. The Sixers and Brian Colangelo last week went their separate ways after that whole scandal with the burner accounts. Coach Brett Brown will be the interim GM until a permanent replacement is announced. So we have begun our offseason now. And we'll talk a little bit about the NBA Finals, too, as we get into what should be a really exciting offseason. LeBron James could still be going to a new team. Kawhi Leonard could be going to a new team. And we could take it from there. It's going to be a very interesting time here in the summer. You've got the NBA draft coming up in a few weeks. The week of the draft, we'll do our NBA draft preview with Chris and hopefully Tom in New Jersey alongside Chris for that. So good times ahead, definitely. All right. So Chris is joining us in a matter of seconds. Most of this delay is my fault. I forgot to start the Skype as we went to air. I will definitely smooth this out. And Chris is about to join us as we speak. And we're ready to talk some basketball. Not much to say about the finals themselves, but two pretty good games in the middle of those finals. We've already talked about game 1. Game 3 was also pretty good. I mean, it was pretty close, and then the Warriors started to pull away near the end, which is, a little bit unfortunate in that after all that fight from the Cavaliers, the Warriors still ended up with a pretty resounding victory, but KD was too good on that night. It was interesting because Steph Curry in Game 3 was so awful. I was very surprised at that, but the Warriors are so deep that they can withstand that and still win the game. Game 4, pretty decisive. I mean, that was pretty much all she wrote. LeBron checked out for the final time. It was about maybe 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and that was the end of that. And LeBron couldn't get out of there fast enough. The buzzer sounded, and he was already in the tunnel. People can argue, well, he did his handshakes earlier, But yeah, that's a guy that doesn't seem to handle adversity too well, at least from that standpoint. But overall, I think LeBron was a real warrior himself, no pun intended, in this series. And honestly, I can't really say anything negative to him regarding the NBA Finals themselves. I mean, he got literally nothing to work with. Maybe one or two occasionally good performances from other players, but the Cavs just had no chance at this. I mean, it was more clear by the game that they were completely overmatched in this NBA Finals, and the end result is what you see, a 4-0 sweep. And so the Warriors get their championship 3 in 4 years, a pretty impressive job by this organization. But it's going to happen when you have the second best player in the league joining an already championship level club. So there it is. Let's go ahead and get Chris on the program. Chris, hopefully you can hear me. How's it going tonight?
Great, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, a little sad, I think. I mean, the NBA season was so good, and it's kind of always sad to see it end. And, you know, we were certainly hoping for more fight from the Cavs than we got, but it was tough to expect that with just the incredible lack of talent on that team. So in the end, I think it was about what I expected. But the silver lining is it brings about a very exciting offseason, which is already in the works. And perhaps I shall defer to you for some initial final thoughts on this NBA Finals.
Yeah, it was quite a disappointment after, just even after game one, which was a fantastic game and should go down as a classic, but I think it'll be forgotten just because the other games and the fact that it was a sweep and particularly game four, which was just not close. So unfortunately that it didn't materialize to be a great series. We talked about LeBron, you know, playing with an injured hand. We don't really know the extent of that, but as you mentioned, he came out the press conference and had a cast on it, which was sort of an interesting move. It was funny, right after the game was over, I turned on ESPN SportsCenter and they were doing all the post game interviews and so forth. And man, about 5 minutes into the show, Brian Windhorst comes on and makes sure everyone knows that LeBron had a contusion in his hand after punching a blackboard after game one. So, you can be sure LeBron wanted everyone to know that, after the finals ended. But, it's a sad moment, you know. I can't believe we've been doing these shows since October, and did we start in October?
Yeah,
maybe
it was October.
We started in November.
Yeah,
was
late,
it October?
Late
okay.
October. Yeah.
Yeah, and here we are, and it's the off season, and the Golden State Warriors have won another one, and I mean, I guess the takeaway from this is just we're starting to kind of look at Golden State and position them, and you know, among the all-time great teams. And and the thing that's crazy is that they're not done yet. I mean, they're still a young team.
I mean, the only guy that's getting older from the Warriors side is Draymond, and so that's probably going to be a guy that's going to be on the decline soon. But everybody else is still so young, and I think you're right. It's going to be – they've got at least two more chances at an NBA championship. I think next year almost feels like a lock, but again, this will depend on, you know, what happens in the offseason. So, you know, I'm not going to really get on them for what they've done specifically within the series. They did a great job, but, you know, it's getting kind of boring. I think you would agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's look, we're Celtics and Lakers fans, and we don't really have a right to complain. But yeah, I mean, I want to see, you know, I'd love to see, look, I mean, the conference finals are great. I mean,
If
Paul isn't hurt, who knows? I mean, maybe they win that series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. So,
right.
But,
But you know what I mean. I'm talking specifically about this matchup. Like, this is getting boring. Like, you know,
I'm sorry. I thought you meant. I'm sorry.
I realized that I should have clarified. So yeah. So you know, but I'm glad this is probably it, right? Like, this is no more useless LeBron Cavs team, right? I think that's over at least.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, he hasn't said one way or the other what his plans are. I mean, you know, and technically he's still Cavs property, and there's still that player option for next year. So, I mean, there's nothing to prevent him from staying. I mean, it's all in his hands. I think he has to decide by the end of June whether he picks up that option. So we'll know soon, like what he's thinking. But you know, of course, he could pick up the option, and that forces a sign and trade too. So that's another possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do agree. What was this, number four?
Yeah.
I don't want to see number five. I really don't need to see
J.R. Smith messing up the score of the game or messing up.
I don't want to see. Yeah. It's just, I don't want to see that again.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's get some fresh blood. I mean, there's some young teams in the East, and let's give someone else a shot.
Yeah, let's do it. So here we go, off-season time. I mean, it's time to speculate, my friend. I'll give you the odds for LeBron James. And this was as of a couple of days ago, so it might change. It's probably going to change every day. But as everyone says, Lakers are the favorite. And they're the favorite at 2-1. It's really good probability. The Sixers are second at 7-2, which amounts to about 3.5-1. The Heat are third. Although I was hearing on the NBA, the Ringer NBA show today, that the Rockets are suddenly third or something like that. The Knicks actually have better odds than the Rockets as of this reading, at 15-2. And the Rockets are 10-1, so just below that. The Spurs then are favored after that at 20-1, and the Cavs at 30-1. I wouldn't rule out the Cavs either, because even if he did come back with the Cavs, you know other guys are gone. Like, they're going to trade a bunch of guys, and it'll be even a much different team, I think, if they were to continue to try to make it work in Cleveland. So that's the latest. So, Chris, we've been talking about it a lot. I mean, pretty much, most people seem to think that the Lakers are the play. And I do question the ability to compose a great team with not much proven talent, but a very young nucleus that's pretty good and a lot of cap room. So there is potential there, absolutely. How would you assess his suitors as we look at it in week one of the offseason?
Well, you mentioned the Heat. I'll just start there. I think you said the third. That's just crazy to me, because they are one of the worst position teams as far as the cap goes for the next few years. Next year, I think they, if you look at the contracts, they have for 2018-2019, they already have $145 million committed, which is tops in the NBA. I mean, they just, this is a team that didn't make made the playoffs, but they were at 8 seed. I mean, I suppose they could do a sign and trade with Cleveland. Of course, I mean, if LeBron has his heart set on the Lakers don't have to do anything. They've gotten the most cap room mm-hmm. of anyone. And, you know, LeBron can turn down that option, and he can just sign with whoever he wants. And if it's the Lakers, they've got they can do it. They can accommodate him. So, I think it's got to be the Lakers and everyone else. I think the Cavs, I would put number two, just because, you know, there is that player option. He could re-sign with them. I mean, just for this 1 year, pick up that option, and then go through this next year, and you could do the same thing if you wanted. So, I think that's about right. I kind of zoned out after Miami. I can't remember. I guess where the Sixers were pretty high up there.
Yeah, and I agree with your point off air about that too, where you said you aren't seeing why that they get such great odds, because I tend to agree. I don't think it's as good a fit as everybody thinks. I think it just seems like, you know, a fit from a media standpoint, but realistically, I don't know how you're going to be able to intertwine him and Simmons, because they basically do the same thing. They have the ball a lot and they go to the hoop a lot, and I don't really know how you're going to be able to really make that coexist.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, like, LeBron's ideal teammates right now are a bunch of guys who can sit out on the perimeter, and you know, they can run picks and get open, and then, you know, like dribble, drive, kick, and that sort of thing. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Simmons' whole game is based on penetration, because he's not going to pull up and shoot a jumper, and he's just going to get to the hole and put it in, which he's great at. But if LeBron's basically doing the same thing, I don't see how the two coexist on the court together.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this guy's personal life, but you know, the one of the things that keeps coming up with LeBron is just that his kids are in school, you know, high school, I guess high school age and younger. And, you know, that's always a consideration, you know, moving your kids around. The LA thing became a hot topic because he has two homes in Brentwood.
Right.
And you know, maybe this is a new start. The knock against Cleveland, I think I laid this out, was just that me and Dan Gilbert do not get along. And I realize that's not the most important thing, but, you know, I mean, he kind of did his thing for Cleveland, you know. He came and he said, let's win a title, and he did that in the most impressive manner, coming down from 3-1 against this super talented Warriors team. I don't know. I feel like in Cleveland, his job is done in a weird way, even though that he goes out and really not inspiring fashion, losing, you know, four in a row to the Warriors. But I really do feel like, you know, this was a team that desperately needed a championship. Fans, you know, were dying for it. They haven't had a whole lot to cheer for in that town in a long time.
Oh, no. Nope. And, right.
You know, if you look at the baseball scenario, I mean, the baseball team is good now, but, I mean, off-air, we had a conversation about, like, what teams would make the biggest difference if they won a championship. And in baseball, I think we both agreed it has to be the Indians.
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah. Yeah, I think it's just because of the long length of time. I mean, 70... Now it's not 70 yet, but it's pretty close. It's like,
yeah.
No, I guess it is. Is it 70 now?
Yeah, it was the 50s, wasn't it?
1948. It is 28.
48.
So this would be the 70th year of their drought, I believe.
Yeah.
Or it's been 70 years. That's crazy. That is crazy. Well, I think I say that now, but maybe in 30 years I'll be talking about the 60th anniversary of the 88 championship for the Dodgers, like.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
right.
Man. Oh, I hope it doesn't get that far. Well, we'll see.
Come on.
Yeah, no, that's silly. Look. That's silly. That's silly. They're well on their way. I think they have a great
Seattle
organization
Mariners.
Now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Seattle Mariners have never made the World Series.
Yeah, it's a little interesting, isn't it? You know, not even making the World Series is definitely tough to imagine as a fan for a team that long. What do you think of their team this year? Am I doing this now? Yeah, I guess we'll do it.
We're doing a baseball podcast.
I know.
You know what? I haven't. I know they're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox are going to play them next after they just finished a series with Baltimore and they play the Mariners. So I will get to see them up close. But I understand they're really good. I am totally out of the loop on baseball. I'm just getting reconnected. But yeah, no. I mean, you know what? Here's the thing. I mean, I feel like the Mariners, I think they came in the league 77, 78?
Yeah, 77.
I can't remember which year, but
it was
77,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, not making a World Series, I mean, just think, like, Colorado's made it.
Yeah.
Arizona's won one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, yeah.
All these expansion teams in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, and the Mariners have never made it. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, one of the all-time winningest teams in MLB history. So, but, yeah, we got there with the – because of Cleveland and, you know, how important that win was for the city of Cleveland and the sports fans there. And, I really feel like, you know, I feel like LeBron probably doesn't feel that he needs to do anything else.
No, I don't think he owes Cleveland a thing. I think...
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Cleveland fans would agree with us on this. I think they feel like this is what he set out to do, and he did it, and it's awesome from their point of view. So now they can kind of move on as a city and have something to rest their hat on. It's pretty cool. But now that means that LeBron is kind of good to move on to something better. And, you know, the idea of him just only going to a team for 3 years every 3 years is strange. But in this case, moving on from Cleveland, I'm all on board, because I just think we both have agreed on this for over the year that the Cavs are not a good organization at all. So he deserves better. I think it's better that he moves on somewhere better, and that better could be LA. My question to you, and this is purely an opinion, and that's all I'm asking here, because I don't honestly know what drew him to enroll his kids into LA schools, because the LA school system is terrible. But I imagine it's a private school somewhere. But
yeah, I'm sure.
It's still just.
He did do that.
Well,
I didn't know that.
Everybody keeps saying, "Well, his kids are in private. They're in LA schools." I'm like, really? I'm like, what? I don't know how that came about. Like, I wonder why he's decided to set foot in LA. And my only guess on it is that most of the NBA tends to have a presence in LA for a lot of reasons, mostly for marketing purposes. And the real estate, you can get a nice house there, and the climate's fantastic, and you can practice basketball in the off season in LA very nicely and quite easily, as a matter of fact. We actually will run into a bunch of guys around UCLA because they have a practice court in the student center, which brings wooden gym, basically the athletic, kind of like the, you know, like you have a fitness center, and the wooden athletic complex is the fitness center for UCLA. So they have basketball courts there too, and so they draw a lot of pretty big names to these courts. Apparently they're really comfortable facilities, so that's probably why a lot of NBA guys have residences in LA, just so that they have the opportunity to train and they can get access to a lot of media scenarios and marketing opportunities and filmmaking opportunities and a lot of stuff like that. So I think that makes sense from that same point, but it is still really interesting that he's got such a thing going in LA. And I didn't realize it. I didn't even know like he had that much. They had two houses, not let alone one. He had two. And they say it's in Brentwood. You know how close Brentwood is to me? It's like within 2 miles of where I live. So I could be running into LeBron someday without even realizing it. I didn't even think of that.
We gotta get him on the podcast, Dave. If he goes to the Lakers, you got to hook that up.
I will. Yeah, you're right. I definitely want to do it. I'll go and talk to him and see if he will go for it. That's funny.
No, that's funny. I didn't realize that. I don't think I've ever been to Brentwood. I've spent a decent amount of time in Southern California, but I don't think I've ever been in that neighborhood.
It's possible you have, though, because Brentwood is really sneaky. It's like, it's so embedded within, like, you know, Pacific Palisades is on one side of it, and Santa Monica's on the other side, and Westwood's on the other, and like on the eastern side of it. So it's almost, Brentwood's just kind of embedded in the middle of all that. And so, if you're driving along Wilshire and you're headed towards Santa Monica, technically speaking, like the area between 26th Street and maybe Bundy is Brentwood when you go north of Wilshire. But then once you hit 26th, everything from that point on is Santa Monica. So it's just kind of bizarre that way. But That is about right. So Brewer's not that big. Like it's not that big in terms of landmass until you get north of San Vicente. That's where all the houses are. But you know, it's stuff that neither of us will have access to because it's all private stuff. But yeah, it's just kind of there. So it's I'll show you around sometime. Yeah. Won't you come down and maybe I'll show you? Yeah, and I'll give you an idea.
I'll pick you up on that.
Oh, yeah. There's some good restaurants, too, in Brentwood. Really good. Like, I think you will enjoy that. So it's pretty good stuff. Anyway.
We'll get a map of the stars, and we'll plan our...
I've always been intrigued by that. Yeah, map of the stars. I don't need a map. But it's always amusing to see the signs for that, so I always get a kick out of it. Times, yeah. So speaking of LA, I mean Kawhi Leonard. I mean a lot of rumblings about him getting to LA too. This week we get the report that Popovich and Kawhi are having a talk about trying to salvage their relationship. In essence, on the Spurs. I don't know if he can do it, but if he does, it'll be a remarkable achievement for Popovich and the Spurs organization. It seems to me like it's damaged beyond repair, but maybe you may have a different opinion. Do you think Kawhi, do you think the Spurs have any chance of keeping him on the Spurs for the foreseeable future?
Oh, I have no idea. I guess, you know, it's just what you read and the stories that came out this year, it just didn't feel right. It was just very strange. I mean, I think Kawhi played like 9 games for the Spurs, and it just didn't. I don't know. I mean, I don't like to judge people on their injuries and whatnot, but it didn't seem like he was happy. And everything he said publicly seemed like, okay, this is not going in a good direction. But who knows? I mean, maybe Pop can do the sales job and get him to come back and mend those fences. And we'll see. But I don't know. If I had my gut says, no, this isn't a good situation. And I think you looked it up and Kawhi has 2018-19. And then the following year is a player option. And then supposedly there was a report in the Post that, that Pop is planning to retire after the 2019-2020 season. So, I don't know. Maybe he's got his eye on the next thing and he's a SoCal guy too, so I believe he went to San Diego State, if I'm not mistaken, and so it's conceivable maybe he wants to go back home. Who knows? I mean, not everyone does, but and Lakers are becoming an increasingly interesting option for teams. I mean, especially when you consider how much salary cap space they have, and you look at the other teams that have a lot of salary cap space, and you're looking at the Bulls, Mavericks, Hawks, and Sixers who are obviously a playoff team, but and then the Kings. So the Sixers and Lakers are the most intriguing offseason teams just because of the amount of cap space they have. So it's gonna be exciting, Dave. You're probably gonna be. You're going to be hitting refresh on Twitter 24/7, getting alerts from Woj and whoever. And it's for a Laker fan, you got to be over the moon right now because it's going to be a fun offseason, especially just for you, especially with the names too. Because you brought up KD as a possibility, and it seems remote right now, but who knows? Maybe he's like, look, I've done everything I wanted to do here, and people don't look at me as the leader of this team, even though I won 2 MVP, playoff MVPs. And maybe, he's looking to start his own thing and move on to the next, So I don't think it'll happen, but you can't rule it out 100%. He's an unrestricted free agent, too. So
yeah,
we'll see. But it should be an exciting offseason, particularly for you, because your team is on the up and up. They have some exciting young players, and they have tons of money to spend. Yeah. And also, you can't you can't overlook Magic Johnson because he, you know, the guy's a salesman, and he's been, you know, I think he'll work his, I was going to say magic, but it's kind of funny. but I don't think you can't underestimate that. You really can. I think, you know, the way they operated during the season, getting rid of all of that salary cap space.
That was an unbelievable job. Great
job.
It
really was.
Yeah.
It really was. And I brought this up before. Even the off, you know, in the mid season when they, or the trade deadline rather, when they traded, Clarkson and Nance to the to the Cavs. I mean, Clarkson was making a ton of money. I mean, that was a huge deal for them because they cleared out all that cap space, and they also got a first round pick back from the Cavs.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Even though the Lakers, they don't have their number one pick.
Yeah,
it belongs to the Sixers. They still got a number one pick back this year, which was the only team to get a first rounder at the trade deadline,
yep.
which is nothing to be, you know, nothing to sneeze at. So, so we'll see, but it should be fun. I can tell you, you're a little giddy probably.
Oh, there's no doubt.
You're trying to restrain yourself. you made it clear that there are certain guys like Paul George, who you're really excited about, Kawhi, mm-hmm. more recently, you've been talking up a lot.
Yep.
It's not as crazy a list of free agents this year as it has been in the past, but there's some sneaky names in there, you know. DeMarcus Cousins, granted he has an Achilles injury, so that kind of dampens it a little bit, but who knows? Clint Capella, some interesting guys. I mean, you know, they can always re-sign. They can always re-sign Randall and you know, get another big name. I don't know. There's a million ways they can go. They have so much flexibility, and they're going to be calling the shots this summer. Unfortunately for me, but it'll be exciting.
It really is exciting. This is the best offseason the Lakers have had in quite some time, and the potential is practically limitless. They are going to the table with all the chips. They have all the cards. They have like all the different combinations that they can make to make it an incredible team potentially. And as I mentioned last week, I'm not that excited about LeBron just because I'm concerned about the age. But look, if they get LeBron, that is going to be an infusion of excitement to the city that you're going to feel from the west side to the east side. And you know, seriously, like that is going to be a big story. Even if you don't follow basketball, you'll know about it because it's just such a big, it's a big thing. Everybody knows who LeBron is. Even if you're not a sports fan, you know LeBron because LeBron is a household name. And that, I think, will be completely worth it for the Lakers, whatever they pay him to sign him for the team. So that is where the potential is, I think, for LeBron, the ability to market that and sell it and get season. I mean, they don't need to buy season. They don't need season ticket holders. They've got that maxed out. I mean, there's a waiting list to be a season ticket holder for the Lakers as it is, but the amount of electricity it'll provide in LA and the rest of the NBA for that matter. I mean, it's huge. I mean, to compare the franchise value of the Lakers or the Cavaliers, I mean, you can't compare it. You cannot. So it's not going to make the Laker fan base suddenly say, well, he's better than Kobe. I mean, he is better than Kobe, first of all. But what I mean to say is that in terms of legacy, Kobe's legacy is untouchable. Like, I think no matter what LeBron does, he can't play. It's impossible for him to play more than, what do you think? Because we talked about this last week, you know, the age 34 thing, but you could play, I mean, if he really takes care of himself, the super optimal situation would have him playing another 10 years. So he played till age 44. That sounds outrageous,
That's really on the high end though. You're looking at a very small number of players who even get past 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Kareem, how old was Kareem when he retired? Was he like, he was in his 40s.
He was like, yeah, that's a great question. Let me go check. I'm going to guess 43, I don't really know.
Yeah. And I remember at the time, that was like kind of crazy. I mean, that, you know, I think I looked up the top, the oldest NBA players in history. I think Robert Parrish was like 40 when he retired. I think you're right about Kareem. I can't remember, but.
I see it here. The final season, he was 41 years old. So he retired at 41.
41.
Yeah. That's right. That's it. That seems right. So, well, it is right. I mean, I'm reading the number, but I was off by 2 years.
I know it's right. I just.
Yeah.
One thing about the Lakers, and this is, and I hope I'm not interrupting your thought, but they were one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in basketball this year in terms of percentage.
That's true.
Like, what if they went after a guy like Redick?
Hey,
just a pure shooter. Like, how much like could that help their game? You know.
Yeah, it's a great call. And they're clearing salary on top of what they already done. I mean, I don't think they're going to re-sign KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, or anybody like that. So that should be plenty of room just right there to sign a good spot shooter, you know, whether he's a bench guy or starter. And I think it's a good chip to have too. And you're right. I think Redick is on the open market, right?
Unrestricted free agent.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really great. And
I mean, that would be perfect for the Lakers.
That's a good call. That is. Yeah. No, that's pretty smart. I mean, the Sixers will feel that. They'll feel the loss of Redick right away, because he was solid with the Clippers too when he was there. And then he was in Philly, same thing. And yeah, I think it's a pretty solid call on your part, Chris. Definitely. Yeah, so anyway, this is just a very long way of saying that the Lakers have a lot of potential. Personally, I'd rather they go a little younger. And I mentioned Kawhi. And it's funny that nobody's talking about Paul George this week, naturally, but it's still funny. Like, you know, that was a big topic last year. Oh, who's going to get Paul George? And they traded him to Oklahoma City. And now it's just all LeBron, and KD might opt out, and Kyrie might get LeBron to join the Celtics, and all sorts of nonsense like that, and Kawhi, and it's remarkable how all of that gets talked about. But Paul George is still a potential asset for a lot of teams, and he could stay with Oklahoma City, but I actually think that his case for that grew within the course of that season, but it seems more probable that he'll move on to a different team. So I don't really know who will go either. It would seem like he'd go to LA, but I couldn't. And when I say LA, I mean, it could be the Clippers even. That wouldn't surprise me either. So lots going on there. I think.
Yeah. And he's made very public, very public comments about wanting to play, because he's another Los Angeles kid. And he's made it very well known that he invites you to play in his in Southern California. So, that is going to be that. You're right. No one's talking about that, but that is crazy. Just for the impact it will have on Oklahoma City, and they traded for him this offseason. And you look at that team. You know, a handful of years ago, they went to the finals against Miami. They had three young stars. They look like, you know, a team that was going to win, you know, several championships with Harden and Westbrook and Durant. And this kind of closes the door on them. So if he were to leave, which I think he will, and they're a mess too, because Carmelo has that player option. And I think Oklahoma City would love for him not to pick it up, but I think he'd be crazy not to, and I think he will. And they're going to be in a rough spot. They're going to be fighting for their playoff lives next year if that's the case.
Yeah, it's peculiar how they did so much work in the off season to get a bunch of notable players. I'm not necessarily sure if they were all great players, but they were notable players on the team. George and Westbrook are great players for sure, but everybody else, it's just sort of like, you know, it seemed, even on paper, it looked like it was about, what did you think, like a six seed or when you were looking at it in the preseason? Like, where did you have them ranked in your head before the season?
Oklahoma City?
Yeah. Because I didn't think they had much of a ceiling anyway, because I felt like there were a lot of parts that we didn't know if they were going to mesh. It just seemed like there would be a possible chemistry issue with the way that that was constructed.
You know, I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure we talked about it like on our one of our early shows, but I think I had much higher than six. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Golden State, maybe three or four.
Yeah, okay, three or four. Yeah, that seems right. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I can't remember where I had a team like Minnesota, for example, which I was pretty high on in the preseason too.
Right.
But yeah, top of my head, I guess I probably had them lowest at four.
Mm-hmm.
Because I liked Houston a lot, and I liked obviously Golden State a lot.
And you were right about those. I mean, that worked out very well. So, yeah, all right. I guess, I think, but either way, even within that fairly low ceiling, they were very underwhelming this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if Paul George wanted out of there, and I think it would be his prerogative to do so. So, would you also say the Lakers, or maybe I wouldn't even say, just say let's combine Lakers and Clippers, because I feel like there's a really good chance the Clippers get them. Would you have the combined Lakers Clippers scenario in LA as the front runner to get Paul George this offseason?
Yes, I would. And the Clippers are not in awesome shape. I mean, they're 10th right now in committed payroll, but I think that includes, if I'm not mistaken, I think that includes DeAndre Jordan's player option. I think it's a player option for 2018-19. So that assumes, I believe, I'm using Basketball Reference for these numbers, but I believe that assumes that Jordan is there. But if not, then they have a fair amount more that they can spend, and that would drop them probably into the bottom third of the league or top third of the league in terms of how much salary cap space they have. So they could be a real player. It's interesting the two LA teams, how well they did in over the last year in terms of just getting rid of payroll and just kind of clearing the books.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of got to tip your cap to them. And you know, we talked about the Lakers, but the Clippers, they did a pretty good job.
They did. Yeah. I mean, as you mentioned, they had just as tough a task actually with some of those contracts and getting rid of Blake Griffin, which again, they signed him to the contract, but for whatever reason, they decided, you know what, this is not working out and we're bailing on it. And as ruthless as it sounded at the time, they seemed to make the right call because he tanked after that, and so did the Pistons, and you know the rest. And so, having
Blake
recovered...
Griffin is. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Blake Griffin is.
I was just going to say he is the perfect example of why when people bring up loyalty to the team and you got to stay with your team and why does LeBron keep moving around a lot? Blake Griffin is a perfect example of that because they traded him the same year they signed him.
Yeah.
And they had really went overboard with the ceremonies when he was a free agent, and they put together a crazy presentation. Like, this is what it's going to look like when we retire your number after so many years. And, like 6 months later, he's gone. And oh, by the way, yeah, we're sending you to Detroit. Have fun.
Like,
man, that, you know, I'm trying to go, I don't want to rip on Detroit, but that is not a great scenario.
No.
I mean, there are obviously worse teams to be on, but to be not good and also not have cap space is a bad place to be.
It's a bad
so
yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, some people would rate him as one of the most overrated players in the history of the game because he just came in with so much hoopla, and his skill set isn't really that extensive. I mean, it's funny how even I was kind of coming around on, well, he was doing better this year. He was shooting threes, and ultimately that was temporary. He just went back to his old tricks, and his defense really isn't that good. His only real innovation to the game was the inclusion of wearing tights, which everybody does now. It's just like, I don't really follow that. I mean, like, seems like extra work to put on an extra pair of little leggings, and then you put on your shorts, and just, I don't know. Not feeling that, Chris, but, yeah, his star has fallen quite a bit. And
it really has.
It sucks, though. It sucks for his part. We've talked about that already, but I don't know what the future is for either them or Detroit. Maybe Casey has some tricks up his sleeve. That's a big story, too. They hired Dwayne Casey, the Pistons, which, I don't know. Like, I think you basically said it was a whatever move off air, and I agree with you. It's, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the Pistons are kind of in a weird position. Just a lot of parts, but not really a team. And so I give him the best of luck, but Casey's may make that work. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know what to say about Detroit. I have to look at their roster. I don't even know who's coming off the books for them, and you know what their team could look like next year. But yeah, I do know that they're eighth in the league in salary for next year. So it's not like they can be incredibly active. I don't know, Stanley Johnson. It's just, there's so much mediocrity on that team. I mean, and you would think like a team with Drummond, and I know you're not a big Blake fan, but Drummond and Blake could be halfway decent, but they couldn't even, you know, they couldn't even make the playoffs, and they really tanked down the stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently people are saying the bloom is off the rose and Andre Drummond too. They don't really think that he's got much going on outside of the rim, away from the rim. And in today's NBA, you got to be able to have skills outside of the rim too, because like if you can't shoot from a long distance or from any distance really, then what are you, right? Like it is kind of interesting. Like, so I think even some people went as far as to say that Andre Drummond is a less useful version of DeAndre Jordan, which I think is a very strong statement. But people say that he hasn't really hit the kind of peak that people would hope for. I don't really know what to say because I don't watch the Pistons enough, but do you think that, Andre Drummond could be like, does he have room to grow, or is he what he is at this point?
Well, I think that's an interesting comparison with Drummond and Jordan. The one thing I would highlight about Drummond that makes me think twice about him this year is that he almost doubled his free throw shooting percentage. And so he was horrible. He was like a 38% free throw shooter. This year he was over 60% rather. So that's a pretty significant increase in his percentage and his efficiency from the line. And, you know, while it's 60% isn't great, it means that, you know, you don't have to like pull him off the court at the end of games because teams are going to be hacking him. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like he's one of these guys who the game has kind of evolved away from in the sense that, you know, you kind of demand more of your bigs, even your centers these days, in terms of, you know, shooting from outside. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the Final Four teams this year, none of them really had that traditional center.
Right.
I mean, the Celtics probably are the closest with. With Horford, but even he's not that kind of back to the basket guy, and he's an excellent 3-point shooter. And if you look at the Cavs and Golden State, I mean, Tristan and Draymond, I mean, they're both about 6'8". I mean, neither of them would be, I mean, gosh, back in the 80s, those guys wouldn't be, they would be backups, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how the game has changed. I mean, you couldn't, I mean, Draymond could probably start, but you'd have to play like power forward. On a team back in the 80s. I mean, you wouldn't, every team, you had to have a 7-footer or guy at least close to that.
Right.
To play center. I mean, I feel like Draymond would have been, not perfect, but would have been, you know, he kind of missed his window in terms of play. And I feel the same about Jordan, too.
Well, that's interesting comment about Jordan, yeah. But, you know, you're talking about centers and versatility, and I look at the Houston Rockets and the way that Clint Capela played, and he was really great. Now, the interesting thing for Capela is that he is a free agent, and that is going to be interesting. Now, he made $2.3 million this year for his season. They're going to have an interesting decision because I think they would want to keep him, but he might be owed quite a bit of money now. Because he had such a good year. So I wonder how they'll negotiate that. Chris Paul's another guy. You just mentioned the bird rights with Paul. There's no guarantee that Chris Paul is even going to stay. He is a free agent right now. So what do you think the Rockets will do to play with those two free agents? There's a lot of expiring money this offseason. Trevor Ariza is also going to be a free agent. And he's 32, so he's getting pretty old. Tarik Black. Can't believe he's on the team. I don't remember. Do you remember Tarik Black this year? Did you see him play? I barely saw him play.
Not a ton, no.
Yeah.
Houston's in terms of payroll for 2018, committed payroll for 2018, 2019, they're number 23 out of 30.
Yeah.
So they have room to spend. But of course that includes, you know, that does include that they have to re-sign their own guys. So Capela and Chris Paul.
So what do you think? Do you think they'll try to go after both of them? Will they put a priority on Paul? Because the reason I'm not sure about Paul is when you're 33 years old, age 34 next year, am I right?
Yeah.
So he's got a reputation of getting injuries anyway. Doing that with another year on top of his age. That would make the Rockets pretty unsure. And I feel like they're a progressive enough organization that they may not worry too much about it and try to assess that differently. You know what I mean? What do you think?
Yeah, I think like Daryl Morey is such a creative guy. I mean, I could see him going any number of directions. But I suspect they'll try to play it safe and re-sign their own guys. But I mean, remember last year? I mean, they shocked everyone when they were able to land Chris Paul because that wasn't even a rumor, and they really didn't have the money to spend, and they were able to clear out some contracts. So, and I've said it before. I thought maybe LeBron could end up there. I was reading some today. LeBron actually hates Houston.
Really?
So it seems like he apparently doesn't like it from a. You know, there's an unnamed source of a friend of LeBron's. So, who knows? I mean, but I thought, you know, the Chris Paul connection, you know, he and LeBron are good friends from the, the banana boat days. And
yeah.
So I thought, yeah, maybe there's something there and you can lure him there. And that would be, you know, I don't know how the pieces fit together, but LeBron, Harden and CP3 would be a nice trio. It'd be kind of an interesting group. But it's going to be a fascinating team to watch, Dave, just because of those two guys being free agents. You factor in Daryl Morey, who's one of the most creative general managers and the player personnel guys in the game today. And who knows? They're going to be a team to watch too, for sure.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, maybe they, you know, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what he has up his sleeve.
I don't either.
He's one of my favorites, as you can tell.
Well, I know why, because he has tied to the Boston Celtics. He was a Celtics guy for a while, right?
Yes.
Like an assistant or a stats guy or somebody like that. I remember hearing the interview with Simmons on the BS show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he and Simmons, he are very close, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, very true. Yeah. They're still tight today. So he is a smart guy. There's no doubt. One thing I think that's interesting about Morey is that he really is trying to do the sabermetrics on basketball. So I'm concerned from the standpoint of him trying to do some basketball version of bullpenning, which to me would be the gross usage of the three-point shot. And I think it's a little bit ridiculous. You know, the phrase trust the math comes into play when you think of the Rockets. And you know what? I don't know if you can trust the math that much. I mean, over 20, what was it? Over 24, over 27 in game, whatever it was, 6 or 7 of the West Final. You know, at some point you got to forget the math and look at the court. It's like you're missing every three-point shot. Why don't you try something else? So you got to be careful with trusting numbers too much.
Yeah, that is shocking. Of course, if Paul's there, you think, okay, well, they at least have a chance to.
Right.
That streak wouldn't look quite so bad. It's interesting that both Houston and Boston both had that really just poor shooting nights in. Was that was game 7 or game 6?
Boston was game 7.
Boston was game 7.
Yeah.
I know that. But was Houston's?
Houston was really doing it both nights at both games, really. The second half of game 6 and then second half of game 7 as well. So, yeah, it was pretty rough. And it was like a slow-bleeding loss, you know, that game 7 in Houston. Because it's like, gosh, if they just hit one shot in like an 8-minute stretch, they could have weathered the storm. Literally one shot. I mean, you notice like, and it wasn't like the Warriors were just piling on three-pointers within a 3-minute span in that particular case. It took a while, but it was just a free fall. And, you know, Harden being as passive as he was really bothered me. And I know you're a Harden guy, but that really bothered me. He just didn't have any aggressiveness at all. He was just said, I'll just shoot a three. I'll just shoot another three. And it's just like, this is why I was bothered by him most of the year. It's like I knew that eventually he would get to this point. And he had to step up, and he didn't. And that really bothers me. Like, LeBron will always have a say. Kevin Durant will have a say, too. And even if Steph shoots terribly, he's going to at least try. Not like he's not trying, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it was weird how passive he looked in Game 7. And it wasn't just him. It was like, it was Gordon who couldn't make a shot. It was... Tucker couldn't make a shot. Ariza couldn't make a shot. I mean, you can't make it up.
Yep, I agree. It pains me because like the Celtics had the same deal, as I pointed out.
Oh, Rozier. Rozier was terrible. Couldn't believe it.
Dude, Rozier and Jaylen Brown. And they were. And the thing about it, the thing that was driving me crazy, Dave, was they had really good looks. It wasn't like all of a sudden Cleveland figured out how to play defense. It was like, Jaylen and Rozier had open looks and were just missing.
Yeah.
It was painful. It was really painful.
Yeah. That was tough to watch. I mean, even as a Laker fan, that was tough to watch because it's like you knew that they had such a great opportunity to win that series. It was right on the table. They're at home. It's not like Cleveland was blowing anybody away. It was right there. And you had, like I said, they were wide open for three. They're wide open for two. They had their shots. And maybe it's just a case of a team just being too young for the moment. But yeah, that was a tough one. I have to admit, that was pretty tough. And it's great. I mean, they had a great season, but you can imagine that they look back on that game and be like, gosh, that could have been us. Like, we could have been in the finals, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to focus on it too much. I mean, they shot about 16%. From three in that game, which was just totally off the mark. I mean, they were an excellent 3-point shooting team during the season.
Yeah, especially at home.
Most of the postseason.
Yeah,
especially at home. Yeah, And but again, you know, if they have Kyrie and they have Hayward, they're not, you know, they're not going to have those sustained drafts. So I think a lot of it is youth. I you know, Rozier and Brown are two of the younger players on the team, and they were drafted in consecutive years the last 3 years. So I think, you know, I think that's part of it. I think players get tired, you know, like their legs get tired. And, you know, those long range shots, you use your legs a lot.
That's true.
I think that has an impact because Cleveland didn't shoot well. They shot about 25% from three.
Yeah. These are great points.
Yeah.
Now, see, isn't that why relying on 3-point shots is a little bit flawed? Because that will lend to that. And it did. We saw it on both sides in both series. Even the Warriors had their moments where he had bad shooting. Steph Curry, and now this is looking ahead of series, but Steph Curry had a terrible game. What game was that? Game 3? Yeah, that was game 3. He just was miserable from the field. So,
yep.
3-point shooting takes a lot out of your legs. I mean, I mean, you have shot 3-pointers. I've shot 3-pointers. It was a college 3, but still, you know, you do a lot of it, and it'll wear you down. I mean, it's just natural that the fatigue will come. So, I'm not saying don't shoot them, but I think when you shoot that many, it will probably add up in the course of a 7-game series. And what's the other thing? Oh, I think it's also as bad. It also proves that the model that the NBA has for their playoff system is not sustainable. You cannot do a first round 7-game series. I think they need to revise that and go back to 5 or even go to 3, because it's just killing the rest of the playoffs. Like, you don't really need 7 games in the first round. Not really. I don't even think you need the first round, but we
talked about that. Even acing the first round. The funny thing is, the first round was one of the more entertaining parts of the playoffs. We had some really good matchups.
That is true.
Granted, you had the sweep of Portland by New Orleans, but but there were a lot of interesting games there, and there was a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
I'm firmly of the belief that the playoffs are way too long.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of crazy that 16 teams make the playoffs and 14 do not. It's just like, well, come on. I mean, we played Asia games. We don't know who the best 8 teams in basketball are right now.
Yeah.
Let's just cut it to 8. Well, good.
Oh, wow. You could say cut to 8. You know, but is that 8 in each conference or just 8 total?
No, 8 total. 4 and 4.
Wow. Hey, I like it.
Instead of eight, I like it a lot, actually. You eliminate the first round. You have eight teams. You have four and four. And go from there.
I agree with that. It's a shorter thing.
And then you don't get, and then you don't, you know, let's get rid of the, I mean, a lot of the games, I mean, that game 7, the Boston game, it was painful to watch. And it wasn't just because I'm a Celtics fan.
Yeah.
You know, I really do think these guys are exhausted. And in the finals, I feel like that way, too.
Yeah. I think that's a great call. I think it's pretty clear that even as good as the first round was, the long-term effect was that it really cut into the next round, and then the combined fatigue cut into the next round, and then you just kept going from there. And then you would just get games that were ragged in the conference finals in either, you know, in both the East and the West. So ultimately, now your proposal is very extreme, of course, but I think it's one that all the fans would be on board. All the fans would be all over it. We'd be like, yeah, oh, absolutely. We don't need the first round. Nobody needs a first round. But the league.
Right?
But really, like, seriously, I think Milwaukee could still sneak in there in some years in that situation because they're that good. But you're right. It's like half the teams in there don't belong in there at all. And as good as the Pacers were in that series against Cleveland, you know, let's just get one of those teams. Like, instead of, like, having Milwaukee and Indiana and who were the other teams? Oh, the Heat. Did the Heat really need to be in the playoffs? No. So that was useless. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Both conferences would benefit, and then the finals would benefit, and everything would benefit, honestly. So, Silver is a little bit more open to changing up things. I'm wondering if he could do something about that, because I think that alone would really improve the NBA. Regular season would improve too, because now you're kind of having your playoffs early. You know what I mean? Like getting to that extra, you know, those bottom two seeds. That's a real fight if you end up having only four teams in each conference make the show.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, we'd have the matchups would have been, if that were the case, Houston, Oklahoma City first round, Golden State, Portland in the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, these would be tight. And then in the East, you would have Toronto against Cleveland and Boston, Philly. So you essentially, in the East, you got what, you know, you got what the second round ended up being, because all the higher seeds won, would have been what you would have seen in the first round if we went to an 18 format.
So, yeah, you're right. It wouldn't change much of the actual outcomes, right? Most of the teams that we ended up seeing in the semis anyway wound up in the semis. We would have ended up with pretty close to the same thing. But you skip 2 weeks, and like that's just, you know, that's 2 weeks less fatigue, 2 weeks fewer games, 2 weeks potential for injuries off the board. I think it's all really beneficial. Yes, it's a pipe dream, but I think it's a really, if they really want to get serious about improving the game, that's a big way to go. That's tough. I know it's tough for a business to submit to that, to give away revenue generating opportunities, but it would absolutely improve the game. So it's, you know, it's something to think about. And I think they probably do think about it, but to the extent to which they can change anything, probably limited, but I love it. I think you're right on the amount of money though, Chris. It's a really good call.
It'll never happen though.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Totally. Yeah.
They're just not going to do that. And I think, one thing I think the NBA likes is that there's almost, and we've talked about the summer league, but there's a real continuity right now. Because right now we've got basically 2 weeks. I mean, the finals are ended. We've got a two-week layoff between, you know, the end of the finals and the draft, which is going to really start to pick up steam in the next few weeks. It already kind of has, but people are really focusing on the draft and who's going to go where in the lottery, and there's a lot of buzz. And right after that, then, you know, draft is end of June, and then the summer league is mid-July. And then before you know it, it's going to be camps. And then the season starts. And then, they move the season up a few weeks too. So just this past year. So I think they like this continuity, this feeling that the NBA is a year-round sport, that it's shortening the playoffs would diminish that, because you'd have, playoffs, if they did move to that format, would end probably a couple weeks sooner. So you'd be looking at a month between the end of the finals and then draft. And then, of course, obviously, they'd be losing quite a bit of revenue by not having those other games. So, yeah, it's not going to happen. I just wish it would. It just blows my mind that, you know, you need to have this many playoff games after such a long season.
Right.
I mean, and the same thing happened with baseball. Baseball is, in my opinion, baseball is much better when you had four divisions and you only had four teams that made the playoffs. And it was like, well, we played 162 games. I know these are the best four teams. you'd have some off, you know, some weirdness, like that one year that Atlanta and San Francisco, was when Atlanta was in the West. They both won, I don't know, what, 95 games or something, and one of them was eliminated. I can't even remember which one. I guess it was San Francisco.
San Francisco, because the Dodgers killed them in the final game of the regular season, yeah.
Yeah, and so you have things like that, but that is so rare, and it just, I think baseball's made a mess of the playoffs, I really do.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I like that they made the divisions worthy, like they made the divisions important again, so I think that was a step in the right direction. I don't have a problem with it as much, but I understand where...
One...
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I guess you're about to say the same thing.
I was just going
to
say, the one the one game playoff thing is, I think, is garbage. I really hate that.
It's tough.
I just think there's too many teams. A wild card.
I guess. But I did kind of like the one game playoff because of the drama of it. And I get it. It really will hose a team. Because what if you win a? There is the possibility one day that you're going to get a 95 win team in that one game playoff, and that seems a little unfair. I mean, you won 95 games. Dave, you only get one game to prove yourself.
Dave, with the American League East, there's a possibility you're going to get a 100 win team in that one game playoff this year.
Yeah.
With the Yankees and Red Sox, there's a strong possibility that you're going to get that.
You're right. I see it on FanGraphs. The projections were both teams are going to get 100 games, 100 wins this year.
And one of those is going to have to do the one game playoff garbage.
That is tough. That is tough. I would agree that that is a tough optic in that situation. So we'll see. Maybe they'll expand it to three. But yeah, I get it. I did really like the old format too. I like the two divisions, even if they're huge divisions. I like the idea of having two divisions in each league, and it's like, you got to be better than all these guys to make the playoffs. And that's pressure, but it also will give you the best teams. Even though, some teams are not built for the playoffs, yada, yada. But still, winning that many games with that long a season, you truly are great. Like, there is no luck really can't be a factor when the season is that long. You have such a large sample size. You have to prove yourself time and time again within the season, and many teams do. So I think it's fair. I definitely do have good memories of the fourth division format when I was young. I was okay with the three division format with the, where like the wild card was just the leftover team, but I have to admit that was kind of silly, because then it meant some of the divisions were worthless. Remember that? Like, back basically using the same division, the AL East. Well, the Yankees and Red Sox are guaranteed in, so there's no drama. So that was the problem back then. So this is at least better than that from my point of view, but it does create a very, very big flaw, potentially, when you have a team that's having a great season, and because the other team in the division is also having a great season, you're rendered into a one-game do-or-die scenario. Yeah, you're right. That's a difficult one. That's a difficult one.
Yep. I can't remember when it was that the NBA playoff expanded to this point.
84.
That we have it, but was it 84?
Yeah, the 1984 season was the first year of the 16. And I mentioned this, I think I talked to you about this once before, but it feels absurd today. But imagine in 1984 how ridiculous that was. Like 16 teams out of like 23? Like, that's ridiculous. I can't believe that they didn't get ripped more in the media for that back then.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. It was 23 because we didn't have...
Or was it 26? Toronto. Maybe it was 26.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was an even number of teams. But yeah, you wouldn't have Toronto, the Grizzlies. You wouldn't have Miami, Orlando. Who else was an expansion team?
It was 23. 23 teams in 1984.
Yeah, you're right. Because it was an odd number of teams. Because Charlotte was when they came in, the Bobcats. That is, when they came into the league, they were an odd number of teams. So interesting.
That is
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have gotten ripped for that.
Maybe they did. I mean, media was different back then, but they should have been ripped more. I think that is just ridiculous. People already get on the NCAA for bringing so many teams to their conference, to their tournament for the basketball. And you could just imagine what it would be like if, like, literally every conference had, like, 9 teams make the NCAA tournament out of their conference. I mean, that's absurd. Like, could you imagine that? So you have to be abysmal to miss the tournament. But if you're even like sort of bad, you still make it? I can't get behind that at all. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, I wish I could change the playoffs.
Oh, I'd love to too. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just don't know how much longer they can go like that. That
expanding it to seven was just the worst part of all of it. Like, even when it was five, it was ridiculous, but seven is just outrageous. Like, too many teams. You're either gonna. I really think that your solution is probably the most reasonable one. I had my little six teams in each conference idea. That was fun, but just going to four, why not? Yeah, it's just like, you take a little bit of a hit, but it would improve the quality of the league so much. It's just too bad that owners won't give it a try or something.
Yeah. I agree. I think the quality would improve, but who knows? The 12-team thing was interesting, but then you'd have to go to the you'd have to do a bye.
Yeah, there'd have to be a bye.
I think you'd want to do it in the first round. Yeah. I don't know how that would work out. That'd be tough, though.
It would be tough.
I think those teams that got the high seed would hate it.
Yeah,
I suspect.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. That's a toughie. But so we'll have to deal with it the way it is right now. And I think no matter what the format was, the Warriors are going to win the championship, and that's where we are. We got a good off season coming up ahead. You mentioned a lot of it already. Like, we have the draft coming up in a couple weeks. The NBA awards, we won't do a podcast for that. We'll just let you know at some point in the middle. Chris, overall, it's been a really, really fun time following the league with you. I've really learned a lot this season, watching the games alongside you and getting into all the teams, and it's really been a blast, and it's nice to have a regular NBA feature. So it's been a good year. I've had a lot of fun with it, and this is not the end. Of course, we will come back with off-season shows every now and again. Our next one should be the one to cover the draft in a couple weeks. If there's breaking news in between, we'll come on for that too. So I just wanted to say thanks for lending your expertise to these shows. It's been a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll keep going through the summer too.
Yeah, no, man, thank you. It's your show, and you wanted to have me on, and I learned a lot, and I watched more basketball this year than I ever have in my entire life, just because I wanted to kind of stay up on it and just be prepared and just to see as much as I could. So it pleasure has been all mine, and I look forward to it. I'm looking forward to the off season, as if you can't tell already. And I'm excited for you and your Lakers. If you mentioned the draft show, if we do the Lakers, have a big signing, I imagine you're going to want to jump on and do a show, which I'd be all for, as you know. So let's we'll be in touch Let's figure it out as we go. I think we can just kind of do it ad hoc, when it makes sense. But I'll be up for doing, a show in the off season after the draft. The draft is end of June, and then free agency starts July 1. So we'll be right in the thick of it, and before you know it,
the first.
I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. You've talked about going to summer league games in Vegas, and they're all in Vegas this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'll be able to do that just because of my vacation schedule, and I've already kind of got things planned. But maybe next year, I would love to figure something out and head out there, and maybe we can meet up in person and catch a game and maybe some Siegfried and Roy too.
I'm going to have to.
And,
who catch knows you up what other Vegas, man. I love it, though. It's a great idea.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, Summer League. Pleasure's been all mine. Thank you for having me on your show. It's been great. I've really enjoyed it.
For sure. Well, have a great rest of your week and enjoy the summer. And looking forward to our next show as well. We will definitely have a lot to cover in the coming weeks. So, my best wishes, and we'll do it again in a little bit. So all the best, man.
Take care, Dave. Thank you. All the best to you, too.
All right, buddy. That's Chris in Georgia. And that's our program, wrapping up a good NBA season. It was a great NBA season. Good, nothing. Great. It was great. The finals shall not should not subtract from what was a really tremendous year. A lot of juice and the sign of good things to come with the league. So we'll be back in a few weeks. We'll give you the off-season updates as we go along. As you mentioned, Ad Hoc, I'm Dave Medina. We're back next week with our U.S. Open recap with John and Mike. Till then, follow us at DidCow or DidCow.com. We'll see you next time.